man, when they started singing Jerusalem. Boy, well, I've been hurting a little bit today with kidney stones, and man, just got here tonight, and I thought, boy, wow, to hear that choir special. Man, I wish I could hear it again, man. I don't know about you, but the things of God just give you peace and comfort and whatever. And then, boy, as the night went on, and of course, the other songs that we sang and whatever, and of course, oh, the tremendous work that's being done in Nepal. My soul, and you, man, they're out of your church. You ought to be proud. Amen? Boy, that work is because you sent your own. Man, I'm telling you, what a tremendous work. Churches being started. Hindu, coming out of Hinduism. That's not an easy thing to do. That's not an easy thing to do. Man, congratulations. Thank you for doing that work for the Lord. Man, that's a tremendous thing. And boy, just so much going on, of course. Brother Ortiz or Ortez or whoever they call you and whatever your name is. I hear it every which way, so I'll just, is it Ortiz, Ortez? I'll just say Or. But thank you for that. And, coming home to the mission field is difficult. Brother Vest has done it. I've done it. You've done it. Most people say, well, if they come home, the missionaries failed. No, boy, you ought to see what we left behind. Huh? Boy, and sometimes God brings us back, not because we want to come back, because God's got something better. We've left fruit behind, and the ministries that we've started are still flourishing, they're still going, and so, man, just thank God that you're here, and your work will continue, and Brother Vest, your work continues, and it's not easy to give up a ministry, man. I taught in a college, I came back taught in a college, I wept for about a year and a half. Just because I came back, my heart wasn't here. It was over there, and I had to transfer. And, of course, God asked me to love the world. And then, of course, as you sang that song, I've got a son, Sam. And it gets harder every time to go over, Brother Shears, to say goodbye. You fly over, and, boy, you're excited to see him and see the family when you're there. And then it comes that time that you have to leave. And, boy, it's hard. And, of course, you try to fake it at the airport, and try to skip. They start crying. You start crying. Everybody's wondering why everybody's crying at the airport. And you're hugging. And it's a mess. And, of course, I'm getting older. And my health is a little bit questionable now. I keep thinking, will this be the last time I will hug him at the airport? Will I go again? And as you get older and many miles on the body, and you're thinking, and whenever I hug Sam, and of course, Irene and the kids there, and of course, Sam is special, and of course, I got three other children that are just as special, but I get to see them more often, and when I hug him, I said, boy, Lord, will I see him again? Will I see him again? And so, thank you for everything that you've done, Brother Shears. What a tremendous mission conference. What a thing. Thank you, missionaries. Man, I'm telling you what, you missionaries, God bless you. Man, I am encouraged as the older I get to encourage to see younger people go into ministry. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy. I'm just going to share a verse with you, and then I'll get to the scriptures or whatever. And of course, we all search for things that God wants us to do. And I don't know about you, I've got to be serving the Lord. I've got to. If I'm not serving the Lord, I'm a very unhappy camper. That's my wife. And I have got to be doing something. When the Lord took me out of the Philippines and wanted to change gears, I thought, now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I'm not coming back here to sit. I'm not a spectator, and I'm not a sightseer. And so, the Lord works in my heart. And, of course, I look at Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and then look at verse 24. I'm just going to give this to you, and then I'll give you the sermon after this or whatever. And, of course, Moses wanted to go into the promised land, and he couldn't. Right? He smote the rock twice, and because of that, God said, look at you, can see the promised land that you'll never go in. And look at verse 24. O Lord God, thou hast begun to shew thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to all thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was very wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me about this matter. Moses wanted to go in. God finally got up with him and said, look, Moses, you're not going in. Just shut your mouth. Take care, because you're not going in. Wow. And boy, like this, look at verse 27. Get thee up to the top mount of Pisgah, and lift up thy eyes westward, northward, southward, eastward, and behold, with thy eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Moses wanted to go over. And God said, you're not. All right? But here's what he told Moses to do. And for those of us that have come back, I'm talking to the missionaries that come back, look at this. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see if not. What we're supposed to do? Encourage the next generation going over, men. We're supposed to encourage them. But man, I'm telling you what, he said, look, you're not going. And I had to fight this, man. I argue with God sometimes. I want to go back to the mission. If I had my will tonight, I would go back to the mission field anywhere in the world and live. I love it. God says, man, you're not going back. He just finally told me, back off, shut up, I don't want to hear it again. He said, our job is to encourage and strengthen the ones that can go. That's one of the job of the church here too, amen? Now go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, then I want you to stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 17, thank you for everything that you've done. It's been a tremendous mission conference. You folks keep it up here, keep your church strong here. Man, it's a good crowd out tonight. Very good crowd. And get behind your pastor and his wife and take care of them and love them and love each other. Amen? Love each other. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll start with verse 46. This day will the Lord deliver thee into thy hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. Father, if we got what we deserve, we'd die and go to hell.
Yeah.
But Father, because of your love and because of your giving, we're talking about giving to missions in this conference. But Father, we'll never outgive what you gave. You gave your only begotten Son, Father, and we didn't deserve it. But Father, I thank you that you loved us enough to give. And so, Father, I pray that you continue to bless this conference. And, Father, we end it tonight. We end it with our conference, but it's just the beginning of what we're going to do for missions and Heritage Baptist Church for the following year. And so, Father, I pray that you strengthen us, save the lost, and change the life of a Christian. In your name we pray. Amen. We're looking at one of the most famous stories in the Bible. We're looking at the story of David and Goliath. And I think every little kid and every little boy, every little kid has heard the story of David and Goliath. It's one of the most popular stories in the Bible. And we'll see different popular stories in the Bible. We see this, of course, we'll look at David and Goliath, but there'll be other stories in the Bible. You'll see Daniel and the lion's den, and you'll see other stories in the Bible, the little lad and the five loaves, and we'll see great Bible stories. But so many times I'm afraid as we look at the Bible stories, I'm afraid that we miss the truth behind them. And tonight we're going to look at David and Goliath, and we're going to see here, let's go back towards the first part of the chapter, and I want us to look here at verse 4. And we begin to look at this. And, of course, there's a battle going on. The battle between Israel and Israelites and the Philistines and whatever. And they're pitching their tent, one on one side of the mountain, one on the other side. And they're set for battle. But we see this here. We see that the Philistines have a great giant or a great champion. A great giant comes out. A great champion comes out by the name of Goliath. And he's a big old boy. Man, he's bigger than a grizzly bear. And boy, the little grizzly bears, they get big. And you know how big they are and how tall they stand and whatever. But we see this here. There's a great giant. There's a great champion that they have. It's called Goliath. But in the stories we read through, we haven't got time to go through all of it tonight. But we see along there, on one side, Goliath is there. On the other side, we have the Israelite army. We have King Saul, who was head and shoulders above everyone else. And then we also see this. There's an army there. King Saul, his army. And as we look later on, we'll see this. We'll see that David has some family members there. He has some brothers that are in the army. So on one side, we've got the great champion of Goliath. On the other side, we've got Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everyone else. He's got his army there, and he's got David's brothers there. But the thing of it is, the Israelites, they're afraid of Goliath. And probably if I'd have been there, I'd have been like that too. If a big old boy comes at me, I'm going a different direction. Amen? But we see this here. But we look at this, and then here we see this. We got Goliath, we got Saul, the army and the brothers, and then we got a little old boy named David. Amen? But he's more than a boy. He's more than a boy. Look at verse 32. Look at verse 32 here. We see this here, verse 32. He's more than a boy. And verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David was more than just a little boy. He was a servant of the Lord. And if we look at this story, we see the story, of course, we know that David goes out and he fights Goliath and he defeats Goliath. But what's the main lesson? As many times we focus on Goliath, and if we're not focused on Goliath, we focus on David so much. But what was the main purpose of this whole battle? What was the main reason for it? Look at verse 46 and we'll see the main reason. You see this. Look at the last part of verse 46. What was the main purpose and the main reason for this whole battle? Look at that. All the earth may know there's a God in Israel. Boy, God desired to be known. There's two main purposes of this story. Number one is, there is a great God, Jehovah God. Boy, I know David or Goliath, he came out and he defiled the armies of the living God and whatever, and the battle begins. He's challenging God. How many religions, how many people around the world today are challenging God? There is only one true living God, Jehovah God. Not only that, we see this. What was the reason for the battle? The reason was that all the earth would know there's a God in Israel. The title of my message tonight is this, that all the earth may know there's a God. That's what this mission conference is all about. That's the reason you have this mission conference. We want all the earth to know there's a God. And that God is Jehovah God. Boy, I hope we can stay true in America. Because I would love to be able to get up tonight and say, oh, that all the earth would know there's a God in America. But if we're not careful, we're losing ground. Many gods are coming to America. Many religions, many false teachings, many philosophies are coming out. And we say, oh man, there's all these gods and they're all the same. No, they are not.
Right.
Because Jehovah God is above all gods and there's no God that is compared to Jehovah God. All the other gods are false gods. I've seen them in foreign countries. I've seen statues of Buddha. I was in the Philippines and they had that big volcano erupt. And man, that thing erupted. The ash went all over the place outside that thing in Manila and whatever. And in Manila Bulletin, the newspaper, the next day, I see this. I see a bunch of Filipinos with bamboo underneath the statue of Buddha carrying Buddha out of the ash. Oh, they're struggling, man. They got in there and there's a bunch of them, man. They had that old bamboo run through his arms and his legs, and they're carrying him. Man, I thought, I almost wanted to stand up on the airplane and shout. Man, thank God that I don't have to carry my God. My God carries me. Amen. The gods of the world cannot see. They cannot speak. They cannot hear. And those that make them are just like them. And so we see this, the main story of David and Goliath. The main reason of it is that all the earth may know there's a God. Now I want to take some characteristics or some points from this message when we see the story of David and apply them to us in missions. What was it that made David different? We see Goliath coming off, shooting off his big mouth. And, you know, he's a big old boy. And if you can defeat me, then we'll serve you. And then we see King Saul was head and shoulders above everyone else and should have been able and could have defeated Goliath if he would have had faith in his God.
That's
right. Listen, you can defeat many battles in your life if you have faith in your God.
That's right.
I got news for you. Battles come. Hard times come. Difficult times come. Things come into our life that we cannot understand. And we can't. Some people say, don't ask God why. Well, I ask him why. I want to know. And God may not tell me. He may tell me and he may not tell me. But I'm human like God, why? But we see this. King Saul should have been able. Well, what about the army? Those men were trained for battle. But they set over it, and they're afraid. And then David's got three brothers in the military. Well, man, maybe one of you couldn't do it, but three of you could. Man, I was growing up in our neighborhood. We had a guy in our neighborhood with a bully. Boy, he used to knock the snot out of us. Man, one of us, one other time, I have an older brother. Man, we'd go there, and man, we had to go to school. Every time we had to go to school, he'd be there. He'd be beating up on somebody. He'd beat up on us. Finally, I got with another guy, and I said to my brother, I said, look, let's find one more. Let's get our best friend. I said, we're going to fix that old boy. Now, he may take us one by one, but let all three try.
Yeah, buddy.
My older brother was a little bit bigger and whatever, and my son, he tore into him, and he got him. He got a hold of him. When he got a hold of him, the other two, we got a hold of him. Man, we beat the snot out of him.
Amen.
I mean, man, if you're going to fight, give the guy something to remember. My dad always taught me, son, if you're going to fight, fight. If he gets beat, leave. Let him know that it's going to cost him every time he tries. I mean, I got scars and everything else, man. I've been hit, I've been beat. Amen. But, bless God, at least he knows if he's going to come that way, he's going to have his hands full. Amen? But I don't know why the three brothers did not fight. I didn't know why. They took after Goliath, man. One grabbed one leg, one grabbed one arm, and somebody slapped him upside the head and something, right? But they didn't. But you know why? You know what made David different? Look at verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?
Yeah.
David was a servant of the Lord. Goliath was blaspheming the God of Israel. He was out just speaking against God and whatever. And old David said, look, man, I love my God. I want to take a stand for my God. I've got a cause. As we look at this world, as we look at tonight's mission conference and sermon, we look at this, how can all the earth know there's a God? I'll tell you how. Somebody's got to have a cause.
Right.
Somebody's got to have a cause. That's why we have this mission program. I hope that you get a cause.
Amen.
That cause is that Heritage Baptist Church wants all the world to know that there's a God.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the cause of this mission conference. That's the cause. Really, that is the cause of the church. The top priority of the church is not growth, not soul winning. Those things are all good. The top priority of the church is to get the gospel of the precious Son of Jesus Christ around the world. That's the top priority of every church. And of course, that takes growth. That takes soul winning. That takes tithing. That takes Sunday school. That takes all of that. But everything that you do is for one purpose. Why do you run those buses out there? For one purpose, to get people saved, to bring them in, to teach them, amen?
Amen?
To train them to do what? To let all the earth know there's a God.
Amen?
Amen. There's a cause. Christ had a cause. What was his cause? Calvary. I'm sure glad that Jesus Christ finished his cause. Because without Jesus Christ finishing his cause, we will not go to heaven. I was in the Philippines and had been in times in a Catholic country and whatever, and good people. Man, those Catholics are more faithful to church and things than most of us in this room. But they always have a cross. You ever see a cross with Jesus Christ on it? It's good to see it. But you know what I like better than a cross with Jesus Christ on it? An empty cross. Amen? Many religions have Jesus Christ on the cross. They hang in there. But it's not finished until he comes down off that cross. He was buried and God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. I like to see an empty cross. Amen. Christ had a cross. Well, we look at David. David had a cross. Or he went after Goliath. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because he was blaspheming his God. Number two, he said, I want all the earth to know there's a God. Paul had a cross. Go to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 1. Paul had a cause. We look at Paul, and probably the greatest Christian in the New Testament, maybe. Great missionary or church planner, whatever you want to call him. But he had a cause. And what was his cause? Oh, if you read Philippians chapter 1, and if you read through it, you'll find this, that Christ is mentioned 18 times in Philippians chapter 1. Man, all Paul could do was Christ. Christ, it's all about Christ. Christ. Look at verse 12. It says this, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather unto what? The furtherance of the gospel. And he goes down and gives me, along with everybody else maybe, my life verse, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is who? Christ. And to die is gain. Paul had a call. What was that call? Christ. The gospel, to get it, for the furtherance of the gospel. God has a cause. What's God's cause? A world. A lost and dying world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
God had a cause. Christ had a cause. Paul had a cause. David had a cause. God had a cause. Now let me ask you something. Do you have a cause? What are you living for? People are living for better houses, better cars, better this, better that, all the toys of the world. Well, if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in this world. I got news for you. You're not taking any of it with you.
Right.
You're not taking it with you. I don't care how many houses you got, what kind of house you have, how much it costs, what kind of cars you got, whatever you got. I don't care what kind of toys you got. I got news for you. When you die, it's not going with you.
Right.
Yep. I told my children, and I'm not leaving things behind for you either, amen? Bless God. I'll tell you how I got what I got. I worked for it. Amen? And I'm not against helping your children. But I'm trying to do this for my children, whatever. Yeah, they'll fight over it, argue over it. I've seen some millionaire leave money behind, and men are brothers and sisters suing each other so you can get the most of it. I can solve that problem real quick. Don't leave me. What? But we live there. There's a cause. That cause is something that is bigger than yourself, that causes you to rise above yourself. Amen? Boy, anybody that's ever done anything for God has had a cause. And no wonder why so many churches just wander and they just exist. And if we're not careful, as we missionaries, we travel across America and we see this. A lot of churches are just in survival mode. Well, bless God, I am not in survival mode. Amen? I mean, I'm not here to survive.
Amen.
I'm in the attack mode. Amen? Bless God, I would rather die in the attack mode and rust away and fade away in the survival mode.
That's right.
Because I have a great Almighty God. And God didn't say, sit down here and survive. God said, look, kid, I want you to have a joyful, abundant life. Amen? So we see this here. The second thing, look at, by our cause. How are we going to let all the earth know there's a God? Number one, by our cause. Number two, by our courage. By our courage. David had courage. Amen? Man, old David, or Goliath, come on, shut off his big mouth. Boy, he's wondering about the king. Why does he do something? David, why don't the army do something? That's what you've been trained for, to fight the battle. Well, you look at these brothers and say, what are you doing here? I thought you were in the army. I thought you were here to protect us and whatever. Everybody, see, King Saul and the army and everybody else was afraid. They were afraid. But here's a little boy that's a servant of the Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And he said, man, the bigger they are, the bigger they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they hit the ground, amen?
Right.
He had courage to get involved. Let me ask you something with this mission program. We're trying to get you involved in missions and reaching the world, and you're seeing Honduras, and you're seeing all these other countries, Nepal and others, and Brazil, and the Philippines, and the world, and whatever, and Burma, whatever. Man, I'm telling you what, do you have the courage to get involved in missions?
Amen.
Amen?
Right.
I'm telling you what, I see a lack of courage for people to step out and say, look, I want to get into this thing.
Amen.
Do you have it? The courage to see what no one else sees. It takes courage to see what no one else sees. Man, old David, I don't know what you can't see. I can see it. This old man shooting off his big mouth about my gun. I'm going to do something about it. He said, I'm going to have courage enough to get involved. Let me ask you something. Do you have the courage enough to get involved in the battle for souls? A battle for souls. We're in a battle for souls. There's only one way to heaven. That's not my way. That's the Bible way.
Amen.
And people that do not go the Bible way. I am so glad that God has put a way in the Bible that no matter who you are, what religion you are, how poor, how smart, or whatever, that He's put a way in the Bible for everybody to go.
Amen.
You look at religions. Religions don't let everybody go. They got their own way. They got their own way of going. They got their own philosophy, their own teaching. It'll exempt a lot of people. You look at a different religion. They'll say, no, these people can't go. These people can't go. But thank God that He put a way for everybody to go to heaven. That's why I love about being a missionary. Of course, now I get to travel the world in many different countries. I can't take the gospel to the wrong people. I can't tell them about the wrong God because there's only one God, Jehovah God. Amen?
Amen?
But do you have the courage to get involved in your mission program and say, look, in our mission program, we're going to fight for souls. Hell has a champion. Hell has one of the greatest missionaries on the earth. You want to know who he is? Satan. Satan. Satan is hell's champion. Satan is hell's greatest missionary. Satan is after people. He's deceiving them. He's blinding their eyes. He's looking at Satan and knows there's a battle going on. But how many Christians know there's a battle going on? Either people will come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as their way to heaven and go to heaven, or with their unbelief and following many false gods, will die and go to hell.
Right.
Many people say, well, man, you shouldn't preach on hell. Jesus preached probably more on hell than any other topic, except money. Now, look at the Bible. Jesus preached a lot on money. Money! More Baptists are going to have a nervous breakdown over money than anything else. I'm serious. I do a lot of mission conferences. Man, mission conference, all they want is my money. Well, I got news for you. Now, number one, it's not your money. Number two, if you don't give it to the Lord, you're going to spend it on a lot of worldly, tracky things that don't amount to anything. Oh, the church is after my money. Number one, the church really don't need your money. Because God's going to take care of it.
That's right, amen.
But you need to be involved. You need the blessings, and you need to be right with God.
Amen.
Well, the church wants my money. Well, I just seen the other day that a new iPhone's coming out. Well, guess what? Apple's going to want your money. Oh, that church wants my money. Apple won't even have to come and ask you. You're running before it comes out. It is amazing to me. New iPhone? Man, honey, get the tent. Get the camper. Get everything, man. Get enough food for a week. We're going down. Park out to the next store. Park out. That means, and you ever see people with iPad comes out, iPhone? Man, they're lined up around the block. They're out there. They're there 2 or 3 days early, whatever. And I don't believe in that thing, but I thought about this. One of these days, I'm going to get in line and sell my spot. Amen? I'm going to get right up to the front. All right. If you get it now, it's $500, but the longer you wait it, the more it goes up. Somebody back there, number 473. I want it. Well, you better hurry because it's going fast. High bidder. I'm amazed how we cry about money. We cry about, well, they want my money. But my God, if you don't want to get it, keep it.
Yeah.
Because God will use somebody else.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I look at the work in Nepal.
Hallelujah.
Look at the work in Nepal. Bless God. I want to get on part of that. Now look at the other one. How many? Now I'm telling you what. God, you can play. I've already got it, man. I can't play the lottery. Christians can't play the lottery. I'm thinking about, boy, if I could just win the lottery, man. I've already got it planned out. My favorite number is 137. $1.3 million. $3.7 million, whatever. I got it all planned out. You say, well, you can't win the lottery. No, but I got an answer. I've always got an answer for just about everything if you ask me. I've got an answer. You ask me. They say, well, how are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to go soul winning. And maybe I'll win someone to Christ that won the lottery. And they would be very grateful that they're saved and I have been able to help them in whatever. And they'll say, well, here. Here's several hundred thousand dollars because you're the man. Right? You never know. You never know. Whatever we see this. But the courage to get involved. Look, there's a battle for soul that takes courage. Are there any Davids? Are there any Davids left? I'm talking to some of you young men now. Are there any Davids left?
Yeah.
Are there any Davids who will say, I'll stand up for God?
Yeah.
I'll fight the battle. I'll get involved. Is there any Davids tonight?
Please.
Any Davids? Look at verse 32, I think it was. Go back and look at verse 32 in 1 Samuel. Oh, David come up and he said this in verse 32. It says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Is there any Davids will say, man, what missions? The world is lost. We're going to take the gospel. Don't worry about it. Is there any Davids that say, don't worry about it. I'll go. I'll get into battle for souls, for preaching the gospel. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Boy, we see this. If we're not careful, we lack courage. We lack courage to get involved in missions. I'm talking about missions tonight, and I can apply this message to any other message or whatever. But I'm going to tell you this. We need to be very careful that we, first of all, don't have a cause. We have a cause. You know why it's so exciting to stay in the ministry for a lot of us that are in the ministry? We have a cause. That keeps us in the ministry. We have a cause. Boy, I'm telling you what, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have a cause. Michael, God's asked me to love the world. And man, I'm telling you what, I have a cause. And when the hard times come, man, I can take it. I can be hit. And I look like I've been hit a few times, amen? But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep going by the grace of God. Because why? I have a cause. By God's grace, I have courage to get involved. We've been talking about missions the last couple nights or whatever, and somebody's been, well, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if I can do that, or whatever. Some of you don't have the courage to step out by faith. Faith promise given is what? God giving His money through you. Yeah? So the next thing we'll see this real quick. Well, courage, what? Courage to see what no one else says. Courage to stand where very few people will stand in the battlefield. In the battlefield. Courage to see what? First, courage to see what no one else sees. And second, courage to stand where no one else will stand. Where very few people will be willing to go. Do you know that most church members do not go into the battlefield? Most church members do not go in the battlefield. They do not go soul winning. They do not work a bus route. They do not teach the Sunday school class and go out and visit the people in their Sunday school classes. They don't go to the mission field. Most church members do not have the courage to get in battle, in the battle fight for souls. They don't have the courage to go into the battlefield. How many people are in the bus ministry? How many people go out soul winning? I see churches with a lot of people in them, except when it comes time to go soul winning. Prayer meetings, they don't show up. Go visit the Sunday school children or the people in their Sunday school class. They just don't go out. Do you have the courage to go out into the battlefield? Boy, look at this. The world. Go out in the battlefield in the world where there's many gods. Go to Psalms chapter 86, verse 6, or 8. 86, verse 8. Right? Go to the battlefield. The battlefield where? The battlefield where there are many gods. And go to chapter 86, verse 8. Man, you go out in the world. Where's one of the battlefield? In the world where there are many gods. And I like this one, boy. Look at Psalms 86, 8. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. You got the courage to go out in the battlefield among many gods in this world? Boy, I use this illustration, probably told it here before or whatever. Told it here before. Down in Guyana. Been out soul winning all day. Been out witnessing, going out soul winning all day. Got hot, came back in. Man, getting ready to go down to the missionary's house. Got on the road going down on this side of Hindu temple. Man, they were coming out. They were dressed in their Hindu dress and whatever. And man, there must have been 300, 400, 500 of them coming. They were just coming down the road, whatever, in the temple they're in, and they're sitting on the floor like they were in Nepal, and they're coming in their dress. We're gliding down the road, and I go, wow. Man, wow, we're on the road going to the missionary's house. We go down the road a little bit long. Sure enough, there's a mosque over here. There must have been about 150 men or whatever, all dressed in white, bowing down to Allah. I'm thinking, man, among the gods. Then we pull up to the missionary's house. And this verse came to my thought right away. Among the gods. Putting Christ among the gods. Do you have the courage to get into the battlefield where there are so many gods and putting Christ among the gods? That's what your mission program does. It put Christ among the people of Nepal. They'll put Christ among the people in Honduras and Brazil and other places and Burma and whatever. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but bless God, I get excited when Christ shows up. Amen. I like to go someplace and vow my Christ above the gods. I've been in the Hindu countries, the Muslim countries, and all the other countries. Man, I'll tell you what, I love that because I love my Jesus. Do you love your Jesus? Do you want to exalt Him? I got three things I really pray about all the time. Number one, God, let me magnify you. God, I want to magnify you. That's why I preach about Jehovah God all the time. Jehovah God, Jehovah God. There's only one God, Jehovah God. I want to magnify Him. Second thing, I want to exalt Christ. I want to lift up Jesus Christ among all the other gods. He needs to be exalted way above them. You don't add Christ to them. You put Christ above them. That's what we got to be careful on the mission field. We go soul winning, though. They just don't add Christ to the rest of them. Because yes. So the many mission fields, they'll just say, oh, yeah, I'll take Christ. I'll just study with the rest of them. Doesn't work. It's Him alone. It's Him alone. And then I'd love to do it and want to do it with all my heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. The battlefield. Are you ready to get in the battlefield? In the midst of unbelief. In the midst of many gods. Are you ready to get in the battlefield? In the midst of all the unbelief. It is a tragedy in America. A country founded upon God and upon the Bible. We hear many people say, I'm an atheist. That's a slap in the face to us. That's a slap in the face to the church. Atheists. We're raising a generation of children that don't believe in God. That is sad. But do you have the courage to go out and get into the battlefield with the other gods? In the valley of the dead, people are dying. Probably 2 or 3 people a second or whatever. Man, millions per year are dying. See, look at David. Look, I've got courage to fight him. I'll get involved. I'll go where the others don't want to go. I'll go and face Goliath. Will you go into the world of many gods? Will you go in the midst of unbelief? Will you go in the valley of death? People are dying all around us without Christ. Do you have the courage to say what very few are willing to say? That there is only one God. Jehovah God. Do you have the courage to say that? We live in a country. Our president, I don't know where he's at, man. But he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe in Jehovah God. I know that. I know that for a fact. Well, man, we're not going to speak up. It's not political correct. Not political correct. No, but it's biblical correct.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? There is only one true and living God. And I'm telling you, folks, you better find out what you really believe, because in the near future, you're going to have to stand for what you believe. Unless you're going to cower out. Yeah, well, Jehovah's just like everybody else. Boy, you better watch out when you say that, because he is not. Oh, there's only one way to heaven. Oh, man, that's a hate crime. You're telling people that they're a sinner and there's a hell and whatever, that's a hate crime. That is not a hate crime. It is not. There's one way to heaven. That is the love of God prepared for everybody.
Amen.
Everybody can't be a Muslim. Everybody can't be a Hindu. Other religions. But my God says, come unto me. Come. I want everyone. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in His sight. Amen.
Amen.
Come here, look at it. Get the courage. Get the courage to say, look at the church. Get the courage to stand for Heritage Baptist Church. Boy, there are many churches out there. I'm so sick and tired of people saying, well, there's many religions out there. Religions send people to hell. It was a religious crowd that crucified Jesus Christ. Oh, the church. The church. The church. Jesus Christ loved the church and died for the church.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Getting quiet in here.
Yeah, brother.
Getting quiet in here. It's Brother Heidenreich. Aren't you afraid to say those things?
Nope.
Because they're true. It's not me saying that. Read your Bible.
Yeah, amen.
Read your Bible. Look at, not only that, they have a good cause and they have courage, but by our confidence in God. Will you be willing to get involved in the mission program because you have confidence in God? Let's go back to 1 Samuel, look at verse 46 again. Mark, David said, look at, man, I've got a cause. I got the courage. I got confidence in my God. Look at verse 46 again. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host, the Philistines, this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And he said, man, I got a cause. I got the courage. You know why I got a cause and the courage? Because I got confidence in my God. Amen? Will you step out and get involved in faith promise because you got confidence in God? Amen? Well, I'd like to give something, but I don't know if I can give it or God will give it to me. I'm going to tell you what, you never have to worry about God giving. You'll never outgive God. Who's the greatest giver of all? God. God. Do you have confidence in that? I have confidence that when I fill out my faith promise, that God's going to give it. You know, the amazing thing about it is, He always gives me more. He always gives me more. This last year has been a very difficult year for us financially. The Lord's given me a verse, though. Psalm 16. You know, if you use your Bible, You might be able to have confidence. Psalm 16:5, it says, the Lord is a portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Do you hear that? The Lord is the portion. I don't know who your portion is. Is it Chase Bank or American Bank or what bank it is? Is it your job or whatever it is? Or your parents got a lot of money or whatever it is? Oh, man, the Lord's teaching me. Son, I'm your portion. If He's my portion, who else do I need? Of course, God uses people to do it. But do you have confidence in God? Boy, I'll tell you something. We are lacking in so many ways in our Christian life because we don't have confidence in God. And you know one reason why we don't have confidence in God? Because we do not fight battles in our life. Then you look at David. Look, what made David so confident that he could whip old Goliath? I'll tell you why. If you go back and read the rest of the chapter, he was taking care of his sheep. His dad had a lot of sheep. Guess what? A lion came out. Now you ever see a real lion? They're pretty good size. I'm talking, they're big, man. You can ride some of them. Lions are big. Man, I'm telling you what, they're the king of the jungle. They're powerful. David said, no problem. He took care of the lion. When a big old bear comes out after one of those sheep. David said, look at man, don't mess with the sheep. I'm going to say something right here. Don't mess with the sheep of the church. Okay? Because God's going to protect them. But see, what you do in your private life and how you face your private battles determines your confidence in God. You hear me? What you do in private determines what God does with you. You're going to have, all of us have private battles. Health, finances, family, children, whatever. We all got battles in private. But what do you do with them? Do you take them to God? And does God deliver you and help you through them? Well, that should increase your confidence in Him. Amen? It should do that. Oh, David said, man, look at that big old boy. Yeah, he's a little bit bigger than a bear, but I've already taken care of that. David had confidence because he was willing to fight private battles. We got such a wimpy generation. Any hardness comes to us. Let me tell you something. Hardness is not abuse. Every time we come around, oh, they're getting abused. Oh, bless your little heart. Hardness is not abuse. I grew up in hardness. I come from a broken home. My mother's a mental institution, and most of her life, I grew up on different, I know a little bit of hardness. But I'm going to tell you what, it'll help you. Hardness will help you. I don't want my children to have it as hard as I did. Oh, you poor thing, you. So you'll spoil them rotten and baby them, and then when they grow up and you're dead and gone, they can't stand for anything, and they're going to be wimpy the rest of their life. That's why we have such a wimpy generation. Oh, Junior, you fell on, skinned your knee. Oh, call the ambulance, get them a specialist, get everybody else. Son, get up and walk it off, amen. I used to get boxing gloves for my boys.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you what, it doesn't get good until they start drawing blood. Man, I'm telling you, you ever see two brothers fight? You ever see two brothers fight? Boy, you talk about intent. My wife says, they're going to hurt themselves. No, they'll just knock each other out. They'll be fine. Getting the bottom gloves, they go at it, man. Yeah. Oh, well, how do they do? They're both alive, working well. I'm not supporting them. They're helping me. Bless God. Look at this. By confidence, last thing I'm done. By our commitment. By our commitment. We look at this. David had a cause. He had courage. He had confidence. Last thing, by our commitment. Look at verse 48 here. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Not only did he talk about it, he kept his commitment. He said, King Saul, I'll take care of that old boy. I'm committed to it. And when the time came, he ran to it. What a tragedy in our churches when the opportunity comes to give or do something for God. We run, but not the same direction. We don't run towards God. We run from Him. We try to run and find a way out of the battle, out of the giving, out of the circumstances that will help get the gospel into all the world. We'll turn around and get away. Well, this mission conference, you know that there are people that won't show up for a mission conference? You understand that? There are people who won't show up. You know why? They're afraid that they might have to get involved and get into the gospel into all the world so that all the world may know there's a God. If I stay home, I won't have to get involved. I've had families. I've been in church where families kept their children home. We're staying home. You know why? They didn't want their children to go to the mission field.
Yeah. Have mercy.
I'm going to tell you something. If God doesn't get them, guess who's going to get them?
Yeah, right.
The world. Yeah. The devil. Yeah. The flesh. There are many young people that should have went to the mission field because they didn't, because their parents held them back.
That's right.
Or somebody, their pastor or somebody held them back. And guess what? They didn't get them either.
That's right.
Parents lost their children.
Yep.
And the ungodly living. Pastors lost them, church members, and they didn't stay at the church or whatever. Man, David, I'm committed. I'm not only in this thing, but I'm in until the end. Do or die. Amen?
Good.
Now, how are we going to let all the earth know there's a God? Well, we've got to have a cause. Do you have a cause? That cause is we need to let all the earth know there's a God. Do you have the courage to get involved? Will you step out and make a faith promise commitment? I'm going to give so much. Look it. I pray about my faith promise giving. I ask God what He wants me to give because He's going to give it. I said, God, I'm asking you because you're the one that's going to give it. I've been involved in this thing 20, 30 years or better. Guess what? Every year God's giving it.
Yep.
I have confidence in Him. That one, He tells me to do something, I believe Him. And that because I can believe Him, I can make that commitment and then I can run to it. As we close off this mission conference, we look at the story of David. I want you to look at that and say, look at the main story of David and Goliath. Wasn't all about David. Wasn't all about Goliath. It was for one purpose and one purpose only. That all the earth may know there's a God. Now let me ask Heritage Baptist Church. Do you want all the earth to know there's a God?
Yes, sir.
Well, then you better pick up that cause. Pick up that cause. All right? Then, do you have the courage to get involved? You have the courage to make that commitment. You have the courage to say, look, if this is how much I'm going to give for the next year. Do you have the courage to do that? Then do you have confidence that God will give it to you? God never sends His soldiers into battle without going with them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ask the missionaries. We go to the mission field. Guess what? God goes with us. People ask me, sometimes I fly by myself to the mission field. They said, aren't you afraid to go to the mission field by yourself? I got news for you. I'm not going by myself. God the Father's going. God the Son's going. God the Holy Spirit's going.
Amen.
They said, man, you for team midgets? Yes, I am. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And a little old me. I got confidence. Then do you have the right? Do you have the desire to make that commitment and keep it? Well, I did last year. I started out the first 4 months and just faded out. Not David. He said, man, the only way I'm going to get this done when I got his head. And I got it right here, buddy. He held off that head and everybody else ran. Well, man, you got to get your faith promise card from last year and hold it up and say, hot diggity, it is done. I say, look, it's finished for last year. And I got a cause this year. I got the courage. And I got confidence. And I'm making another commitment. It's up to you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Father, some may think I preach hard. Truth of it is, I need to preach harder. Got to shock some people back into reality. But Father, whatever I said tonight is from the Bible. Father, there is only one God, and that's you. And you want all the earth to know that. You want all the earth to know that there is a God that loves them. Many of the other gods ask for a sacrifice. They ask for a sacrifice of children and life and everything else. And Father, you just want us. You want to love us. You want to take us to heaven and live with you for all eternity. Father, you have what's best for us. And Father, you want to be known throughout all the earth. And Father, tonight I pray that there'd be some people here that pick up a cause. And they'd pick up that cause that all the earth would know. Father, I pray that some that have been sitting back and a little bit fearful of my getting involved in missions tonight, would step out with the courage and say, look, I want to be involved. And Father, I pray that as they've seen you work in the past, that they'll build the confidence that they can trust you. And Father, they'll have confidence in you to give them their faith promise. And Father, I pray that they would finish their commitment. Father, they would finish it to the end. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation in your name. We pray. Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Wow. What do you say from that? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. We're just trying to cool it off here. It's all right. Just turn it off and put it back on. Sometimes that does that. Don't let Satan take your mind off what you're thinking of right now. What are you going to do? Hey, you want to do that? Bury your heart in the mission field? Some of you have been messing around long enough. Some of you ought to say, just kick old Satan off your lap and say, you know what? I am going to serve God somewhere, someplace, somehow. Whether it be on my knees or out of my resources, helping somebody else go. You saw it tonight. You came up and put a few dollars in James and Sheldon's pocket. That's when you stepped out, that meant, hey, I'm for missions. I want to help. You know what? You're going to missions. You people that put money in his pocket, you're going with him to Nepal. Hasn't it been long enough? Haven't your eyes been dry enough? You said, Peter, I'm not qualified to be a missionary. Who said that? You might not be the pastor. But boy, there's a lot of preachers that need some help. Instead of going hunting this year, why don't you go to Philippines for a couple weeks. Why don't you go to Honduras, Brazil, Burma? You'll never have so much fun in your whole life. Your heart will never be turned so much. So then you step on that old plane and take off. And those engines start humming. And that stewardess says, sit down. We're about to take off. And you meet some national that says, I'm here to pick you up, brother. You have no idea what that feeling is. Why don't you just give up your what you want to do and give your heart to the Lord? Because I promise you, He'll give you more than you'll ever believe. You don't give up when you give to God. You step up. He said, "But preacher, you just don't understand my, I'm having such a hard time." Maybe that's why you're having a hard time. You're trying to do what you want instead of what God wants. Hey, you got breath from God so that you would do and glorify the Heavenly Father in heaven. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's not about you. It's about those people that are dying and going to hell without even once hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without one time someone come to them and loving them and say, "I want you to know there is a heaven. And there's a God that died on the cross for you, that you can go to heaven someday. Wouldn't you like it?" You've been dummied down. You've been talked to by certain people and say, "Well, you know, you can't do that." Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If God be for it, who would be against it? I challenge you, children. Listen to me, children. Beg God to be a missionary. Hey, teenagers. Beg God to be a missionary. Hey, girls, thank God you marry a missionary. And if you can't find one, go yourself. I remember when I was a little boy in Michigan, and a girl named Inez Perry. She went to college and couldn't find a man. She went to Africa. Stayed there one term, came back. And when she came back, she met a guy. And they were married. And they went back. I tell you what, that couple stirred my heart as a little boy. And how I saw it, I want to be a missionary. But somehow Satan got a hold of me. Or maybe our church didn't keep pushing us to be missionaries. Didn't keep prodding us to go. And Dad said, "Son, I want you to come home and farm on the farm. I want you to, when you get done going to college, you come home and you be a deputy sheriff and you help me on the farm." And 1970, I went home for Christmas. I was out of college, and my dad said, "What do you want to do, boy?" I said, "Dad, I want to come home and farm." He said, "Okay." He said, "Such this farm and this farm and this farm and this farm said they want to rent it to us. Son, it's going to be Sheeran's son's farm." Oh, he was happy. He took me down the realtor, they had plans there at the realtor to how to build a brand new house. And the architect looked at it and said, "No problem." My dad says, "Son, if you want to live on the corner of Hope and Shear Road, which I've always dreamed, I've always dreamed it." And I got on that plane with my little wife and my two little boys. Came back to Minnesota. Going to quit my job in April. Had a good job. Worked for Old Town Tool Company, Ford Steel. Made good money. I was working with my father-in-law. He's a pastor. And he said, "Sheldon," he says, "there's a little church called Delavan Baptist Church. They have 8 people there, and they're going to close that church down tonight. Will you go over and preach the last sermon? And then I'm going to come over, and I'm going to chair the meeting, and they're going to close that church." Tall one over there. I mean, you talk about dumb. You're looking at him. I'm dumb. I'm like, they named the lollipop after me. Dumb. I went over there. My little sweet wife was there. My little son, Chad, was there. eight people. We had a good time that night. Good time. After service was over, I sat down in the back, and my father-in-law came. And Bernie Fry said this. He said, "Folks, what do you want to do?" And a lady who sat just in front of me, she said, "Sheldon, would you come and be our pastor?" And you know what this dum-dum did? I said, "Sure!" I had just promised my dad I was coming home in April. Sure. The church was ascetic. After I was there a while, they were kind of wondering about it. But and I became a pastor. I turned 23 that Wednesday, January 20th. 45 years we've been at it. I'm glad I didn't go become a farmer, though I do sow the seeds. I have traveled all over this world. Every time I sit down and pray and I say, "Dear God, I don't know how you, this little farm boy, Julie, this little farm boy, how in the world did you ever?" I was with Brother James 2 years ago in Nepal. He didn't know this. I was sitting in my room. Weep. "God, I am halfway around the world. I'm about to preach a commencement exercise of these young boys who've given their life, literally given their lives." Folks, let me tell you something. Listen to me. There's no greater job than to serve the Lord. I don't care what you're doing right now. You ought to want to serve God. You say, "I can't go." Then you, yes, you can. You can pray, remember? You can give. You can communicate. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you playing that. That means a lot to me. I did that memorial, my friend, Doug Kalap. I miss. Sometimes you meet guys like that, you know, I said, just steel, you know, sharpen as steel, iron sharpen as iron. Brother Heinrich.